Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be here with you again in Coleraine. Apologies on behalf of our friends from Ukraine. They're so tired. They've had a very traumatic time over the past 6 weeks, I'm sure you can imagine. You know, they've been sitting crying and they're just traumatized. Their family's still in Ukraine and they're extremely worried about them. And they're just not really up to it tonight. But, you know, they're just here. Lots of time. We can get them along any time at all. So please let us know that if you do want the Ukrainians along. You're only 10 minutes down the road, aren't we, with Mr. Park. So it's great to be here, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much again. Trevor was trying to explain about our brother Fyodor. Fyodor's from Belarus. And we met him 18, 19 years ago in ministry in Belarus. And I'm going to let him speak for himself. He's big enough to speak for himself. So he's going to come for 10 minutes and just tell you a little bit about himself before we go to the report.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. So as Brother Donald said, we have met 18, 19 years ago, roughly, and I was just a recent high school graduate. And I grew up in a missionary church in Belarus where we had an American pastor. So by that time, my English was more or less fluent, and this is where I joined Brother Donald and the mission, and I was helping with translations. It started with Belarus orphanages and then moved to MS Society, Multiple Sclerosis Society. And from then, it went to Ukrainian ministries. And I'd say in the past 20 years, the mission has done tremendous service and did a lot of work to glorify the name of the Lord, reaching to orphans, sick people, former prisoners. And it was a tremendous blessing for myself. So, just to say about my name, the Eastern European form of my name is Fyodor, but it is slightly challenging to English-speaking people to pronounce it. So, the analog is Theodore. Both these names derive from Greek Theodoros. So, Theodore or Ted is absolutely fine. This is the same name, the same Greek meaning, which means divine gift or God's gift. But jokes aside, I just wanted to say that we all have been shocked of what has been happening in Ukraine, and through the ministry we have a lot of friends and we constantly hear stories or feedback from our brothers and sisters in Christ, the struggles they have, the work they do. And when I hear that, sometimes it is challenging to comprehend. It is heart-wrecking sometimes to hear all the pain people are going through. And when we ask this question, when we ask ourselves why, the verse that comes up to my mind is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, is, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And in Russian and Ukrainian Bible translations, it says to give you future and hope. And this is where sometimes we don't know why God allowed this suffering and pain that people are going through. But there is a purpose behind that. And when we hear how many souls are coming to know Christ in these very difficult times in Ukraine, and even through Faith and Action missions, how many people have been fed and helped and have heard the gospel because they would come to the church for help, local churches for help and food and sometimes shelter. And this is incredible how even through the darkest times, God is working in the hearts of people. And besides, how many Christians have fled Ukraine and settled in many other towns and cities of Europe where they are able now to share the gospel with Russian and Ukrainian speakers, to tell them about Christ. And now more and more local, smaller churches are appearing. And I believe soon we will have a local Ukrainian church in Ballymoney, where they will be worshiping and will be able to minister to Russian-speaking and Ukrainian-speaking people in Northern Ireland. So I think that God has his own plan, and such ministries as Faith and Action Missions is partially contributing to do this work, and it just brings glory to the Lord in what we can do when we can spread his gospel and even in the darkest times can share this with people in need. And we would really appreciate your prayers, because one of the members of the brothers and sisters who just came from Ukraine, she was crying today because Kharkov is under heavy bombing right now. And she said that most of her family managed to escape Stary Saltov, where we have been working for a long time. But her mom and brother stayed because mom is very old and she couldn't leave her house and she wouldn't be able to travel long distances. And this is where being among these people, you always feel that pain, that tension, and that struggle. And you see the tears in their eyes, and you see the heartache and worries that they have. And the only thing is that what we can do is to comfort them, to pray for them, to give them help they need, just to feel that they are here, they are cared for. And perhaps this is how we can minister to them right now. So I would encourage you, please pray for the mission, pray for Ukraine, for peace in Ukraine, and for brothers and sisters in Christ who managed to come here to seek refuge for the time being, because they really need our prayers. And with that, I will pass back to Brother Donald.
Well, brothers and sisters, you know, 20 years ago, 21 years ago, we went to Belarus, and who would have thought that it would have been a time for such as this? You know, it's hard to comprehend, it's hard to get our heads around what has actually been happening over there. 21 years ago, we went to Belarus, 20 years ago, we went to Ukraine, and we have been ministering there among the Lord's people, among the unsaved, for 20 years now. And 6 weeks ago, I remember getting out of bed, 5 o'clock in the morning, and downstairs with the TV on, because we were just home from Ukraine. And we saw the Russian army gathered in the borders, and we knew something was going to start eventually. And I remember coming downstairs that morning and TV on, war in Ukraine. Heartbreaking. It was totally devastating to see the place that we love being bombed, people being killed, brothers and sisters losing their homes, even lives. It was, you couldn't even get your head around it. Having been there a few days before, the place that you were in no longer existed. Hard to get your head around that. And I remember, after 2 days, Jacqueline and I, we just sat and cried. We says, Lord, what's happening? We've been there 20 years, 20 years of ministry just disappearing before our eyes. I said, Lord, is that it finished? He says, no. He said, I'm just expanding it. And he certainly expanded it, didn't he? And since then, I remember we just sat and we prayed, Lord, we're not saying that we'll not do this, we will do this, but how do we serve in the middle of a war? What can we do? I said, Lord, we will do it. Please show us what to do. And I want to go back 28 years, and I just want to read one verse to you. You know, Ted read to us there. There is no authorized version in the Russian language. But 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. All these old things that we used to have, they pass away. Behold, all things become new. 28 years ago, we never thought for a minute it was going to be for a time such as this. And I remember 28 years ago when I was far from God, no interest in the things of God, brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, and just God wasn't there for me. He just wasn't in my head, he wasn't in my thoughts, he wasn't in my life. God didn't exist to me at all. I was in the RUC, I came from Scotland, joined the army, came over here. Everybody was sent to Northern Ireland, weren't they? So I ended up over here through the army. And finished my time in the army, joined the police. I was in the police for 24 years. 18 of those years I looked after Ian Paisley and his family. And at that time he didn't know there was a Roman Catholic protecting his life. And he had a real good laugh about it when he realised that there was. And we became very good friends over the years. But it was far from God in those days. And I remember in the police station one day, a young believer came along. And he just told everybody in the police station, I'm a born-again Christian. And he just nailed his colours to the mast. He took his stand for Christ immediately. He wasn't put off with the environment. Because I'll tell you, the police must be one of the most difficult places to be a Christian. To be able to witness there. You're expected to do and say things to defend your friends and back them up. And if you're a believer, you're not really trusted that much. Because they know that you're not going to lie. If you're standing for Christ, you'll not tell lies. You'll not say and do certain things. And this young fellow came in and he just told them all. He said, I'm a born again Christian. And I remember them laughing at him. And I laughed at him. But when the laughing stopped, I said, what's a born again Christian? Because as a Roman Catholic, we would never have used phrases such as being born again. Became a very good friend of mine. And we would travel back and forward to work together, and he'd tell me all about his Saviour. And I would tell him all that the priest had told me. And then I remember working with him 2 years later. You know, when he came to the police station at first, he had applied to leave the police and to join the prison service. And in those days, 4 or 5 months would have seen that done and you would have been away. 2.5 years later, he was still there. That night, I spoke to him. And work. I said, what did you mean about being a born-again Christian? And he told me. He said, first of all, do you believe that you're a sinner? I said, of course. He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins upon the cross? He said, it wasn't anybody else. He said, it was the Son of God who died for your sin. I said, yes, I do believe that. He said, do you believe that he rose again from the dead on the third day? I said, yes, I believe all of that. I knew that my life needed changing. I was fond of the alcohol, brought up in a family that was fond of alcohol. I was making life misery for Jacqueline and the kids. And I knew that I needed my life changed, but I didn't know how to do it. But here this young believer was telling me, Jesus Christ will do it for you. He said, if you just believe in him and turn away from your sin and accept him into your life, follow him. He said, you'll be born again. He said, he'll save you. You'll be saved from your sin. I came home that night and he had given me a little booklet about sin, Saviour and salvation. And I remember Jacqueline was in hospital, the kids were playing in the garden, and I started to read about sin. And I knew that I was a sinner anyway, I was a horrible sinner. I read about the Saviour. I read about salvation. You see, I believed that there was no salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church. But this little book was telling me something different, that there's no salvation anywhere other than Jesus Christ. I came to the end of that little booklet and I just knew that I needed my life changed and no Roman Catholic system or any other system was going to do it. Jesus Christ was the only one that was going to do it. So that night I put all the alcohol down the sink. I said, Lord, I said, I want you to take away my sins. I need you in my life. I said, I believe in your Son. I believe that he died for me and rose again from the dead. I said, please save me. And that was a start for me. Went into the police station the next morning. I said to everybody, I'm now a born-again Christian. They gave me a hard time, but it was well worth it. They says, you'll be okay in a couple of weeks. You'll be all right. You'll be back with us. That was 28 years ago. So I hope they're still not waiting for me. But you know, everything that I just read there about if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passing away. That's exactly what happens, isn't it? All the old friends disappeared very quickly. They didn't want a Christian as a friend. Today, out of all the friends I had after 24 years of service, Do you know how many have got left from those days? None. They all disappeared. They all went that way, and the Lord took me that way. All the old things passed away. Everything was becoming new. A friend bought me a Bible. I'd never had a Bible before. 38 years of age, never had a Bible, never read a Bible. Didn't know nothing about the Bible, but when I opened it, I just fell in love with the Word of God. I knew it was something special. And I read it for 17 hours a day for the next 6 years. I just wanted to know, who is this God would love me like this? Why would He love me? Why would He love me so much that He would send His own Son to the cross to die for me? Just couldn't stop reading. And at the end of that 6 years, I remember sitting in work one day. I was sitting with the doc. I was at his home. And I was sitting counting my pension. I had done 24 years. I said, I'll do another 3 years. They'll double it and I'll be able to leave with a full pension. And the Lord said, no, you're not. He said, I want you to come out now. And I said, right. And you know, see the moment that the Lord spoke to me in the RUC and said, I want you out now. The devil came immediately. He says, don't be listening to words like that. He says, how are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to feed your children and clothe your children and pay your bills? How will you ever be able to do that if you listen to words like that there? He says, you'll never be able to do anything. Look at the wage you've got and the pension you've got. And this happened just like that. And I said, Lord, I'm coming. Handed my notice in to the RUC. And I remember one of the last nights on the job, I was at the doc's house again. I said, Lord, who are we? I says, we need a name. Who are we? We need to register. We need a name, what we're called. And I was sitting at the doc's house, my Bible open. I had it just opened at the first page of James. And there was these three words, they just stood out to me more than anything. I don't see flashing lights and I don't hear big bangs. I'm not that type of character. But these three words, it just said, faith in action. And I said, Lord, would you not give me another name? I couldn't live up to that. I said, I would fail you every day. Give me another name. And every time I said that, they just get bigger and brighter. I said, okay, Lord, faith in action, missions it is. So we have lived by faith for the last 21 years. We don't talk about money. We don't ask for money. The Lord knows. We don't fundraise. We don't do anything about money. The Lord knows exactly what's needed. And in that way, whenever we trust in Him like this, living by faith, when He provides, we know that He wants it done and not me. So it's a wonderful way to know God's will in your life by living by faith. You know exactly what God wants done. And through the 21 years, we've seen miracle after miracle. We have seen God's hand in our lives so many times, brothers and sisters. It's amazing when you live by faith, you see God in your life every day. You really do. For the last 6 weeks, we've seen Him many times a day. You know, we just handed it over to the Lord. When we saw the war in Ukraine, I just prayed, Lord, into Thy hands I commend Ukraine. I said, help me. Help us, help Jacqueline and I, help the mission to be a blessing to You and to the people of Ukraine. And we stepped back because it was too much for us. We were completely overwhelmed by what we were looking at. We didn't know where to begin. And we just stepped back. And then the Lord started to move. And brothers and sisters, what a blessing that was. To see the Lord moving in the way that He did. I'll never forget the things that He'd done for us. You know, I was getting all these text messages. We work in the front line in Ukraine. We work in the front line of Kharkov that's being badly bombed tonight. And I remember sitting looking at it and I said, Lord, what did we do? How can we do anything? Look at the places being bombed. And the Lord showed us that, first of all, you're not working in Poland. You're not bringing clothes to them. He said, you work in the heart of the place. We want you to get finances into the frontline churches to feed the people, to reach the people. And the great thing was, because we were there just before the war started, we were able to leave 25,000 in the account of the churches to look after them when the war broke out. And through that, they were able to buy something like 30, 35 tons of food. Lots and lots of food. And through that food, they were able to furnish all the ministries. They were able to go to the children's hospitals and be a blessing to the children and feed them. Because the shops were closed. In many cases, the banks were closed. There was no money in the ATMs. There was food to be got, but there was no money to buy it. And this was a massive problem for many of the people. But the Lord showed us what we could start to do. And I'm going to take you there right now. The war started not 6 weeks ago, but 8 years ago. When the Russian separatists came into the east of Ukraine, you've heard it said, the Donbass area, yeah? You've heard them talk about that. Donetsk and Luhansk in the east of Ukraine. The Russian separatists came in and they started a war there 8 years ago. Many people, I think up until now, there's about 16 or 17,000 people have died during that time. At that point, the Lord brought us in contact with the Ukrainian army. And it was a blessing to go to the army. We were invited in to the Ukrainian army to minister to the Ukrainian army. And what a blessing that was, as we were able to go to them, as we were able to go to them and help them and stand and pray with them. You know, even now, I receive the videos now of section commanders, Ukrainian army section commanders, standing with the platoon praying, believers, true believers, standing with the army, praying that God would help them that day and protect them and take them into the battle. And brothers and sisters, this is why I believe that Ukraine's not being defeated. These people believe that God is on their side. And it really looks like this. It really does. Because this great and mighty so-called Russian army, they can't get their head around why this isn't all over in 2 or 3 days. 6 weeks later, and this is what's happening here. And we're able to go to them, we're able to help them, we're able to reach them, we're able to be a blessing to them. This is into the billets. Fyodor and I were able to go to them along with our team. We're able to go in and preach. I remember that young soldier with the beard sitting at the front there. He sat and cried that day. Do you remember? He sat and cried. And at the end of it, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't disturb you or put you off." He said, "But I'm the only believer here today." He said, "And I just couldn't believe that God remembered me and sent you here to minister just to me." And what a blessing that was to hear that. And what a blessing it was for that young man. So we were able to get into the front line there, where the Ukrainian army were. We were invited into the trenches to be with them in the trenches. But we weren't brave enough. We were cowardly. We backed out and we wouldn't go in that far. But these men were brave and we prayed for them. We were able to do many things with them. This is some of the pastors that we were able to work with. And even today I'm getting the videos, not only of them praying, standing, praying before they get into battle, but soldiers on their knees repenting. Thank you, brother. Repenting. And then the baptisms, videos of the pastor Yuri, the cutting the ice with a chainsaw in the shape of a cross, and the new believers going in and being baptized. Cut cold water, you know. We've got lovely wee tanks, haven't we, in our churches? Real baptism is in where it really matters. Cut the ice open and getting them in and getting them baptized. But even then, you can see Fyodor standing at the back there. And when we were going into these places, I remember the day that we drove in there, you know, huge cities with millions of people. We saw nobody on the roads, remember? Nobody. It was like driving through Northern Ireland and there wasn't a soul to be seen. People were terrified. Many of the shops were closed, chemists were closed. People had no food, no electricity, no running water. And the Lord gave us the opportunity to go in here. And we had a trailer full of Bibles and gospel literature, food. And when the people saw us coming, this is what they said. They said, you know, as you drive into this place, there's a great big beautiful Orthodox church on the left-hand side. And they said, you know, we thought that we were the one true church. But we can see, since the priest has run for his life, we can see who the one true church are. You're here today helping us and reaching us with the gospel. We were able to preach the gospel, minus 20, minus 25 degrees. People were coming out and we were able to minister to them. This Pastor Sasha getting the New Testaments into the people's hands. Brothers and sisters, it's okay us going there and leaving, but what happens when we go? As long as the people have the Word in their hand, the Holy Spirit can deal with them and talk to them and challenge them, lead them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in many cases, that's what happened. When the first day of the war started, this started. This was the Kharkov Square that's being bombed. This is the church on their knees, praying 6 o'clock every morning from the first day of the war. You know something? It doesn't matter what the weather's like. These people are there, minus 10, minus 15, minus 20 degrees. They've never missed a day in 8 years because of the war. And what a blessing it is to go to it and be there and to take part in it. 6 weeks ago, families went to their bed at night and they were able to give their children a little kiss and we cuddle and tuck them up quietly and safely in their bed. Then at 6 weeks ago, this is how it all started. Those same people that were able to tuck their children up safely in bed, tonight they don't have a bed. Many of them don't have a home. Millions of people have run for their lives because of what the Russian army are doing in the Ukrainian people. Innocent people. They're not war-seeking people. They're not warmongers. They're quiet people. They just go on with their lives. But this is what's going on tonight, and it's all being turned around to make it look as though they're the aggressor and so on. Many terrible things happened, and from having a home, tonight many of them have absolutely nothing left. Now think about this for a moment. You're going to go to your bed shortly, you'll go home from this meeting, maybe have a cup of tea and a wee bit of toast, and you'll go to bed. Waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, there's a war taking place not far from you. What do you do? Where do you go? What happens next? Many of these people have nowhere now to go. A carrier bag with some things in it. That's it. Some of them don't even have that. Nothing left from what they had. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine that in your life? Because this maniac isn't too far away, and he's talking about sending one this way, pressing a button, coming over here. Can you imagine what would we do here in Northern Ireland if one of those rockets was to go off? Where would we go? What would we do? We would lose absolutely everything. We'd have nothing. No home, maybe no family, certainly no employment, no car, nothing. Nowhere to buy food, no money. You lose everything when a war begins. And this is what's happened in Ukraine. Many of these people, in fact, I would say all of them, they're now being affected. They've had to leave the areas that have been attacked to safety. Many have come into the UK, Poland, many other countries. And this is what's happened. Where's the church? Still on their knees. You know, the BBC will not show you this, because this is about Christianity tonight. It's not about war. It's not about the bad things that we're going to see tonight. It's about the good things. It's about what the church are doing. And this is where the church are still today. Minus 15 on their knees, Kharkov Square. It'll be harder to get to Kharkov Square now because the bombing's bad where we work. And our brothers and sisters in Ballymoney tonight, some of them live in Kharkov, not far from this square. We have a friend whose cafe was blown up the other day, totally destroyed everything. And the other ones live 1 hour from this place here. And the Russians have occupied their village. They've nowhere to go. They can't go home. If the Russians are true to form, as they withdraw from the villages, they'll wreck it, they'll bomb it, they'll kill everybody in it. And this will be true to form if they do. If they're going to be true to form, this is what awaits our brothers and sisters in Ballymoney tonight. Their families are still there. Elderly people, disabled people. Our brothers and sisters have sisters with cerebral palsy and so many other things. And this is why they're crying. It's not, they're not feeling sorry for themselves, but their loved ones are still there. They can't come out. It's difficult for them. But this is where the church is. They're on their knees. They're crying out to the Lord. And yet, brothers and sisters, there's a war going on. Then I come home from Ukraine. We come into Northern Ireland. And I hear all the excuses to the day. It's too windy tonight. I'll not bother going to the meeting. Or it's raining tonight. I'll not bother going out. Or there's a wee skiff of snow. I'll just stay at home. I'll not bother going. It's not Christianity. That's not the Christianity that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about. That's not the kind of followers he wants. He wants followers who will take up their cross daily and be like these Ukrainian people and follow after him no matter what is going on in their life or in their country. That they'll follow after Jesus Christ. And this is what it means to be a disciple. Kharkov, just totally bombed. Bombs lying in the streets. The people out trying to do their best. Nowhere to go, nowhere to live. Look at that there. You know, every time I look at that, this is the people who have lost everything. I was saying to you a minute ago, what would we do? Where would we go? We don't even have a subway where we could go and hide. Where would we go in Northern Ireland? I just don't know. Thank God that over there that they have subways and they can go down into them dark. Yeah, they're cold and dirty, but they're huddling together for safety and to keep warm. They're starving because they can't get food. But, you know, through this Kharkov station, we've been in this station many times, never seen it like that. Hundreds of thousands of people just running for their lives. And you saw it last week, them dropping a bomb in the train station, didn't you? On the news. Killing many people. This is what the church is doing. And this is what you'll not hear on Sky Television or BBC. And this isn't taken from social media or anywhere else. This is our stuff. This is from the front line of where the war is. This is what the church are actually doing. Yes, many people have left. But there's a good remnant still there. And they're refusing to go. I don't know if you've heard about Sokolova Church and the House of Hope. But this is where the House of Hope is. And this is the Sokolova Baptist Church. Christ is Risen Baptist Church. What a church. I'm so proud to be associated with them. I really am. It's heartbreaking to see this happening. But this is what they're doing. They're standing for Christ. They're not going anywhere. They said the rich left first. The middle class followed. He said the only ones left are the poor, the sick and the elderly. And the ones that are dying. And they said, we're not going anywhere. We're staying here. We'll look after them. And this is what they're doing. This is a church. And it's a blessing to be associated with Christians like this that will stay there and serve and serve the Lord no matter what is going on. And this is the girls, even young girls. They're not going away. They're not running away. They're staying. And this is them preparing beds in the Christian school, being a blessing to the people. They're bringing them in from the villages from Kharkov that's being bombed. They're making beds of over 100 in the Christian school that they've rescued. This is through the money that we got in just before the war started, reaching the people. Been able to go to the villages because of the funds and feeding the people who are starving. They don't have money to buy food. There's food available if they can get to the shops, if there's not no bombing going on. But if you have no money, you don't eat. So through the funds that you will give, this is where they're going. They're going to be going in here to help people. Big families who don't have much, they're able to go and feed them. This is into the Christian school again, bringing the villagers in to feed them. There's bombing half an hour from them. This is where they are. This is the light of the gospel, Baptist Church. Another church that's on fire for Christ and taking such a great stand for the Lord. Through the funds that we got in again, you see those big bins are full of potatoes and stew and soup. And they're going right down into the subway. You can see it there. in the bottom right. They're going down into the subway to feed the people. Thousands of unbelievers. But they're going in and they're reaching the people and they're helping them and they're feeding them. And as they're feeding them, there's a group over there and they're singing to them. And there's another group over there and they're preaching the gospel to them. Brothers and sisters, when I come home, the gospel's hardly being preached anymore in Northern Ireland and there's no war. Very seldom the cross is even mentioned in this country now. Thank God it's still preached in the Free Presbyterian Church. That's all I can say. Thank God it's still being preached here. Because in many places in Northern Ireland today, the gospel's not. And there's no war. And there's nothing that would hinder the preaching of the gospel. But these people are in the middle of a war and they're still preaching the gospel, reaching people and loving them and winning them for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the children hiding. That's them hiding down in the cellars. In Ukraine, the little houses. During the summer, they'll grow their own vegetables and fruit and they'll jar it and pickle it for the winter. And that's where they put it down in the cellar. That's where the children are now. Afraid. Nowhere to go. On their knees, just crying out to the Lord. And in the midst of all of that, there's new life. Babies being born in the midst of all the chaos and everything that's going on. There's new life. Babies are being born. Souls are being saved. There's new life in the middle of it all. 2 weeks ago, we needed more funds sent into the front line. And Lord, how were we going to do it? It was getting so difficult to get funds through to the front line. And the Lord says to me, He said, I've got my people everywhere. Ballymoney Church. Mr. Parks gave me the phone number of Pastor Valley in Timișoara. And I phoned him. I said, Pastor, I need your help. He said, what do you need? I said, I need 20,000 of you. As you do. He says, no problem, brother. He says, we'll do everything that we can to help you. And he did. Him and his team, they drove 9 hours from Timișoara to the Romanian-Ukrainian border. At the same time, our brothers and sisters drove for many hours to get to the Romanian border. And they met at the border. Then I get the text message, we're at the border, but we forgot our passports. I said, what? After all this? God got them through. Without a passport, into a country and out of a country without a passport. Never happens, does it? Unless God is in it. And this was the Romanian believers meeting with the Ukrainian believers, bringing huge drums of diesel to help them. Car boots full of medicine, baby food, things of vital importance to keep babies alive and to keep sick people alive. And then they met together. This is the church's Romanian church from Timișoara, Deborah House, and our brothers and sisters from Kharkov meeting together in Romania. And I remember I got a Viber call and I couldn't believe it. They were singing down the phone, rejoicing down the phone in the middle of everything that was going on. They were just so happy that the Lord Jesus Christ had united the churches. Romanian believers, Ukrainian believers. And Pastor Valley talked to me the day after. He said, Donald, he said, it's the greatest blessing that I've ever had to meet with the brethren and sisters from Ukraine, to sing with them, to pray with them, and to help them. They went back into Ukraine with another 25,000. And because of that, they're still able to feed the multitudes that are round about them. They're still able to feed them and reach them and help them. And so many great things are happening through the finances that are going in. And we're getting the videos through of containers coming in with the food that's bought in Germany through the finances and taken and distributed into the villages. And the people of the villages saying thank you to the people of Northern Ireland for your help. So, brothers and sisters, thank you for your help, because this is where it's going. This is what we were doing just a few days before the war started. This is a little lady, a little sister, actually, that we met in a village very far out, quite an extreme. The villages would be quite rough in this area. It's like going back in Ireland, maybe 400 years. And she had nothing. just a filthy old settee that she was sitting on. You can see that she's no legs. And as we started to talk to her, I said, look, what do you need? She didn't ask for anything of the world. Could she have asked for money, medicine or food? She didn't. Do you know what she said? She said, I need to be baptized. I'm a believer. That's all she wanted. She didn't ask for food or nothing. She says, I'm a believer for 20 years. There is no churches in this area. I've never been in a church ever. But I follow Jesus Christ. And I just want to be baptized. And we baptized her in an old rusty bath that she had lying out the back. She was the happiest woman in the world that day. Then we were able to support her with finances and medicine and different things. But this is the Ukrainian people. They're strong in their faith. They take a great stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center. Again, still going today. They're still ministering to the drug addicts and the alcoholics and anyone with addictions. And this was just before the war started. We were there taking the meeting. There was two young men like this repented, down on their knees, just repenting and coming to faith in the Savior. This is Pastor Pavel. You've probably heard, if you've been following the Facebook page, Pastor Pavel and the House of Hope. A ministry that they have is reaching children, fostering them, bringing them into their own families, fostering, adopting them, bringing them into their own families and loving them, caring for them and winning them for the Lord Jesus Christ. This young girl here, her mother and father died. They were going to put her and the three siblings into care in an orphanage, but they ran away. They didn't want to go. And they lived in the graveyard. And the superstitious people over there, they would leave food on the graves for the spirits. The kids were stealing the food that was meant for the spirits and kept themselves alive. They lived off that. Pastor Pavel heard about them. They were brought in to the church and given a family. And today the children know the Lord Jesus Christ. So the work that's going on, this is Roma and Tanya. They live in a village. They go to the same church as Pastor Pavel. And their ministry is bringing the unbelievers into their little house in the village and ministering to them. But the Orthodox priest hates them. And he cursed their house. And it burst into flames at 4 o'clock in the morning in three different places. Somebody had been up to no good. They were all safe, but the house burnt to the ground. And through the Lord's provision, we built their house up again. It looks lovely. You know, £500 does that kitchen. It's not good material. But they have their home back again. And they continue to minister to the unbelievers in the village. So all of this is happening, whether it's happening now. This is an ordinary village meeting. This is what a village meeting looks like. You can be there for 2 hours. Singing, testifying, preaching the gospel. And they're always fruitful meetings, always fruitful. And this is Jacqueline with these three ladies who just came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through those meetings. This man, just a year ago, the man I'm talking to there, he comes from the village. The village is very strong in the occult. There's many different things going on to do with the occult in these villages. This man is a warlock. He is a warlock and a family of witches and warlocks for 120 years within his family. And he came along to the gospel service. And at the end, when I finished preaching, he came over to me and said, I need Christ in my life. And this was the first man to be saved in this family in 120 years it was. And what a blessing that was. The church had prayed for him. The villages can be very difficult places. And that man that you see there, Valeri, he ran out of the house when we were in the village one day with a knife that size. And he pinned one of our team against a tree with this knife against his throat, threatening to kill him if he preached the gospel again. So every time we go to him now, I sit beside him. It says, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. So I always make a beeline for him and sit beside him. And he's actually become, believe it or not, a very good friend. The Lord is working on his heart and the softening that's going on in this man. And just pray for Valeri that the Lord will save him very soon. This is the House of Hope. This is the place that was built just 3 years ago. And what a blessing this place has become to many, many people. Over the last 3 years, many people have been brought here and cared for. They've been loved, they've been won for Christ. People from all over Ukraine are calling to come here. But this was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. This is the people that are being rescued. This is a house of hope going in with Pastor Pavel and his team. They're going into Kharkov. They're bringing the people out in the buses. The next day they were in getting the disabled. Ted will tell you, the disabled people will be forgotten about during this. They'll be left in the flats to die. Putin will bomb everybody and nobody will care but the disabled or the elderly or the sick. And they'll lie there or they'll lie in a basement and they'll just die. This is the church going in again. They're not hiding, brothers and sisters. They're out there reaching people. And this is what they're doing. They're going in. They're getting the disabled. They're taking them to the house of hope. If they can't walk, they're carried. That's the lady there is Dr. Luba. This is Pavel's, Pastor Pavel's daughter. And when we go to the villages, she comes with us. We go into a home. You don't know what you're going to find in a village. Many sick, elderly people, poor people. Dr. Luba will go and she will examine them. She'll look after the body and she'll examine them, take their temperatures, give them a tablet or medicine if need be. And then she'll say, Donald, it's over to you. We look after the man and the soul, the body and the soul. And you know what a powerful combination this is. Our Lord Jesus Christ did the same. He fed people. He healed people. He saved them. And brothers and sisters, we need to love people. There's not enough love in the world. There's not enough love in the church. We need to love one another. We need to love people. We need to go to them and reach them because they're dying without a Savior. And this combination of looking after the person's body and then ministering to the soul, when you reach the body first, they'll listen. They will sit up and listen because, you know, it's not just about preaching to people. It's about loving them and caring for them. And when you show that care and God's love to them, they really do listen. It's a powerful combination that the Lord has given us. 93-year-old Luda, blind, deaf, being rescued. Today she's safe. She's in the house of hope. That's them in the house of hope, all safe. This is what the church are doing. They're going into these very dangerous areas. I get the videos. Ted saw them too. Listening to the bombs dropping. And there's the church in Kharkov going into these places and bringing them out and taking them to safety. That's them today. There they are now. All the elderly cleaned up and getting wee spa treatments and all that in the house of hope from the young girls who are looking after them. Lady lost a leg. But this is them. The old souls who would have just lay there and died. Nobody cared. Nobody would have cared that for them. But the Lord cared. And he sent their teams in to Kharkov to get them and to bring them out. This is the outcome of the house of hope. We don't believe in this carry on, but just pray this little prayer and you'll be saved. We believe in repenting, turning from your sin, taking up your cross and following after Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. No little prayer's ever going to save anybody. But following Christ with everything that we've got, no matter what's going on. And this is the elderly baptism. That just says, Veru, believe. This is them going in to be baptized, 80 years of age, 85 years of age. That water's freezing. I wouldn't go into it. That water's really cold, isn't it? Freezing cold. This is them at 85. They've had strokes, heart attacks, cancer. Nothing stops them. When the Ukrainian believer repents, they mean it. Normally, they go on to be really good, strong Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ. A steady stream of elderly people just going in to be baptized and to follow Christ. If they can't walk, they're carried in their wheelchair. I've seen it many times. If they can't sit in a wheelchair, they're carried in their bed. They're baptized. They mean business. They want to follow Christ. And it's a blessing to be part of that. just about 10 days ago, with a cry out from the Ukraine, from the army and the hospital, the medical said they needed ambulances. And praise the Lord that we were able to get a couple of really state-of-the-art ambulances. And this was them arriving just into Poland. And the team came out of Poland. The volunteers came out and took them in. This is them arriving in Kharkov Square. Pastor Pavel, the video shows Pastor Pavel handing the keys over to the medics on the front line in Kharkov. And the doctor speaking and saying, thank you to the people of Northern Ireland again, for not only for praying for us, but caring for us and sending your finances in a way like this to help people. So, brothers and sisters, there are many things happening. The prison ministry is still going on. This was a few weeks ago, a women's prison. I remember going into the women's prison for the first time, and you were there with me that time. And I remember going into that place, and I seen 1,000 women sitting. And I said, women don't do bad things. Ladies, you're every bit as bad as the men. You really are. And it's sin. 1,000 women sitting. You could hear a pin drop as they listened to the gospel. This is them coming forward to repent. Receive 2 Bibles, one for themselves and one to pass on to somebody else. What do women do? Women don't do bad things. One woman there, the government were coming to take her children off her. And she left them in the forest and they froze to death. Another one, the government were coming to take her children. She set them on fire. Another one decapitated a newborn baby. Horrific. Terrible, terrible, terrible crimes. But this reality. Do you believe that the grace of God can reach people like this? What do you think, brothers and sisters? Can the grace of God reach them? Of course it can. If we don't believe that, we should stay at home and watch Coronation Street. The grace of God reaches from the uttermost right to the very gutter. And this is what's happening. Through the ministry of our brother Victor Dudka, the pastor, 25 years ago he started. There was one prison opening now and again, and the Lord sent us to support them. And the many prisons opened, and today our brother is still there in the midst of the bombing. I'm getting the videos just a few days ago, singing, praising the Lord, breaking bread. This is still going on today. All of the ministries, there's the baptism for the women. That's in the prison. You've probably got one of those baptismal tanks in the garden for the kids. But that's what they give them in the women's prison. The men get a big rusty skip out in the prison yard. And the cells are emptied and all the prisoners are made to stand and watch the new creatures in Christ being baptised. The prison authorities give us that little baptismal tank and they've maybe 6 inches of water in it. And we believe in total immersion, so you're sitting on them to make sure you get them under. But you know, see the blessings, brothers and sisters, the blessings are tremendous. I remember the prison authority saying, please never stop doing this work. Please never stop coming here. People's lives are being changed. And this is what it's all about, isn't it? I was in the martyrs last night listening. Is it Mr. Mercer, is it, that does the prison ministry? Correct, Mr. Morrow. Sorry. Mr. Morrow doing the prison ministry here. And we can identify with everything that he's going through. And this is the prison ministry in Ukraine. And what a blessing. And the men and women that get saved and come out, do you know what they're doing? They're going back in again. Saved. Preaching the gospel. And what a blessing it is to see that. The ex-prisoners going back in. I remember a few years ago, I'm coming to the end. Remember a few years ago, when I was in the RUC, every time I drove through Kharkov, I don't know if you remember this, but I says, Lord, open a door to the academy. Let us into the police. There's policemen everywhere. Nothing happened. And then one day, as I was sitting in Utenars, he says, go and speak to the police. And we couldn't wait to get over, says Pastor, we'll have to go and speak to the police, make calls. And he tried to make calls and he said, nothing's happening. He said, maybe you've got it wrong. I says, no. I said, I know that the Lord spoke. And an hour after that, we were driving through Kharkov. And the driver stopped and he said, oh, maybe the Lord wants us here. I said, what's this? They said, this is the headquarters of the state security police. the KGB. They say this is where believers were taken. This is the people who were torturing believers and putting them to death. They said, maybe God wants us here. So we went into the building. I was met at the door with this big man. Do you remember the big black leather coats they used to wear in the films? Well, they still wear them. And he wasn't too happy to see me that day. But I said to him, I want to meet the general, the boy in charge of what you're doing here. And it would normally take you weeks or months if you even got an opportunity to speak to him, but the churches here were praying. And so the next morning at 9 o'clock, the door opened for us to go in to General Sergei Gusarov, the top man in the KGB in Kharkov. And there was a plaque on his door, and it just says, our enemies will disappear like the dew on the grass. And that's why the photo's blurry. My hand started to shake at that point. But we were talking to him, and he said, why are you here? We said, we're here to share God's love with your people. And then he surprised me. He said, will you help me? I said, what do you mean? He said, we work with lots of criminals now, younger criminals also, he said, and we need clothing for them, we need shoes. He said, will you help me? And I said, will you let me preach the gospel to them? He said, yes. I couldn't believe what was happening. And then we were taken away and were put into the back of the KGB arrest van. And all the rest of the team were sitting in the minibus thinking we'd all been arrested by the KGB. But we weren't. They took us here. They took us to this state-of-the-art KGB holding center. And for the next number of years, we had access into the KGB holding centers to minister to them. And it was like going back to Sunday school. Many of them have never heard of Christ. But this was a Sunday school, like a Sunday school class for the people there. And what a blessing it was as young souls and older souls began to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. KGB guards sitting along the wall with open Bibles, reading them. The ones who put Christians to death, who burned the Word of God, were now sitting with them open in their hands. And what a blessing that became. And I'm going to come back to this in a minute. I'm coming to the end, I just want to finish off with a few little things. The farm ministry that we have is on the Russian border in a city called Volchansk. And we have two full-time workers there that we put a salary onto them to keep them in this ministry, the farm ministry. They feed the people in that area, elderly, sick people, poor people. And through the farm, we're able to feed them. And this is the outcome. This is our goal, not to feed them only, but to get house meetings, preach the gospel all along that area of the Russian border. You're about 2 kilometres from the Russian border here. And this is the house meetings on the Russian border, the Ukrainian border. And in August, this fireman came into the farmhouse, repented, just after a 48-hour shift in the fire service, came in and repented. He says before he was finished that day, he said, will you come and visit my brother Nikolai? He's a policeman just like you, but he's dying. He has MS and he's dying. And we went to visit Nikolai, and there he was lying there. And this is just a couple of months ago. And we went into him, and he was very ill. He perked up a little bit when he heard I was a policeman, and I was able to sit and talk to him. I said, Nikolai, I said, you need to get right with God. He said, yes. He said, I'm a terrible sinner. And it was a blessing to hear Nikolai repenting and coming to faith. He died just a couple of weeks after that photograph. We got a call in that village from an unsaved family. Donald, will you come and speak to my father? He's dying with cancer. He only has weeks to live. And this was us going into Victor and talking to him. And I just says, Victor, do you want to get right with God? He said, yes, I need to get right with God. He cried out to the Lord to save him that day. This is an unsaved family. Brothers and sisters, the village people are sensitive to sin. And this is one of the things that I was told when I started there. Don't go in teaching this, that, and the other. Talk about sin. People are very sin conscious. And so we major on sin. We major on the cross. And we see great, great fruit. We don't go all round the place. We try to major there. This man, Michael, just before the war started, we were with him in the village. His job was, He worked in the roof of the Chernobyl nuclear reactor. His job was clearing the nuclear debris from the roof of Chernobyl. You can see that he looks like a ghost, just no colour to him anymore. He's like a skeleton. He's already lost one leg, he's been amputated, and his second leg is now beginning to rot. This is the outcome of Chernobyl. Very sad, very sick, sick man. Never survive. And he's not saved. Pray for Michael, brothers and sisters, tonight. Such a nice, friendly man. And yet in such a terrible state, and he's not saved. Went into this other village, and this was just in August. And the lady in the middle is a believer. And this is her son, Sasha. He's a Muslim. And I said, Sasha, what do you work at? He said, I'm a shepherd. I said, funny enough, I said, I know a shepherd. I said, he's a good one. He says, really, what's his name? I said, Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. I said, and he's not only a good shepherd, I said, he's a great shepherd. I said, he not only died for our sins, but he rose again from the dead on the third day. I said, where's Muhammad? He said, oh, he's still dead and in the grave. I says, can he not do anything about your sin? He says, no. I says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sin. And he rose again from the dead, and he can save you as you stand here. I said, not only is he a great shepherd, he's a chief shepherd. I said, he's coming back again. And he's going to take every true believer home to heaven. He said, I must trust in this shepherd now. And what a blessing it was to lead Sasha to faith in Christ just recently. This sister is in the villages again. And every time we're in her village, we preach the gospel in her home or in her garden, depending on the weather. But this is a husband, nice man, never repent, listens to the gospel. So unmoved. I got the call that day, Don, will you come and speak to him again? He's had a stroke. Went into the house and I just looked at him. I said, are you ready yet? He said, I'm ready now. I said, why did you wait so long? I said, why did you wait until God shook your life like that? He says, I'm ready now. And brothers and sisters, sometimes that's what we do, isn't it? We don't listen to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord will come along and give us a little shake. It could be a financial shake or it could be health. But the Lord will catch your attention one way or another. And they certainly caught this man's attention. And praise the Lord, they did, because now he's saved. You'll know that photograph well. This man here, I talked about the KGB. He was an assassin for the KGB. This is Peter. Peter went home to be with the Lord just a couple of years ago. Peter used to kill people for the KGB. The KGB turned on him. They shot him twice. They left him for dead. But Peter survived the attack, and he became a believer. And we had the privilege of serving with Peter many times in Louboutin Hospital, going in to minister to the sick. From being what he was, brothers and sisters, see this new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things certainly passed away in this man's life. Everything became new. I remember sitting with him many times and trying to delve into his past. What was it like? My life now is to glorify Jesus Christ. They would never, ever talk about the things that he did. Told us about his father being sentenced to death by hanging for his faith. They said that they changed their mind and sent him to Siberia for 12 years. And he said that in one night it became the coldest place on the planet, minus 70 degrees. They said 2/3 of the prisoners died. They said and the next day his father was busy trying to gather bodies that had died overnight. He said, 2 KGB guards came over to him and said, do you have a good God? He said, I have a great God. He said, hold your hands out then and we'll see how good your God is. And he held his hands out and he broke both of his hands with an iron bar and said, now we'll see how good your God is, because now you can't work so you'll not eat. He said, it was very difficult. He said, there was an agony. He said, and they weren't feeding me. But the Christians in the camp began to feed them, share their rations with them. But he said that they were getting so little, it began to affect them. He said he knelt down in the snow and said, Father, take me home. He said, my brothers are suffering because of me. Just take me home. He said the Lord spoke to him that day. And the Lord says, have not I promised thee that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? And the Lord, he said that the Lord led him into the forest and there was a loaf of bread under a tree. He says, I don't know who put it there. I don't know how it came to be there. But he said the Lord kept him alive in one of the Siberian death camps. And brothers and sisters, ask this man here. He's from those places. Ask him. Christians don't survive places like that. Christians are the first to die. It's the same in war. They'll put them on the front line to get rid of Christians. This man's father survived the death camp and went home. And Peter told us that the blessing that came upon his family was a household salvation. Every one of his family saved. I can't remember. It was a big number of children, 12 or 13 children or so, and Peter was the last one to be saved. This was a blessing of obedience. What verse springs to mind? Those who honour me, I will honour. Brothers and sisters, this is what it's like in Ukraine. The church in Ukraine take a great stand for Christ. And then I come home here, and the gospel's not being preached. We've got comedians in the pulpit making fun of the cross. And we want revival. I don't think so. Comedians in the pulpit. I don't see nothing funny about the cross. I just don't see it. What I see is my Saviour dying in agony for my sin. That's what I see when I see the cross. And how can anybody mock the cross is beyond me. It's quite obvious that they're not saved if this is the way that people are behaving. I come home, I see all these terrible things. I go back here and I see men and women willing to die for Christ. This is what I see in Ukraine. People taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and today they're still doing that. They could all run for their lives, but there's remnants here, there and everywhere. And they're standing there and they're not going to move, they're not budging. I'm watching prayer meetings in the dark. There's no electricity, there's no heating. Prayer meetings in the dark, the churches are still meeting what's left. Praying, singing, preaching in the dark. The bombs are dropping outside their doors. I can hear them. I see the videos. I hear them dropping, but the church is there. And then you come home and it's raining. Not bother going out. I'll not bother. The Lord's table, I've got to go home and put the potatoes on. What sort of Christianity do we have here in Northern Ireland today? I don't know. I asked the Lord, Lord, why is it they can do this? And when it's raining, we can't go to church. Or when it's snowing, or when it's windy. Or maybe the football's on. We've all been there, haven't we? The Lord said, because they're still at the cross. These people haven't moved, he said, they're still at the cross. This is why they can go through this, they're still there. So brothers and sisters, I believe that Northern Ireland and the UK, they need to get back to that. We need to get back to basics again. We need to get back to the cross. We need to start looking onto Jesus again. We really do. We need to get back to the cross. And not just by reading about it, but by experiencing it in some way. By almost feeling what Christ went through in his sufferings. And the shedding of his blood and his death. And I believe that if we can get back to the cross again and know what it cost the Holy One to bear away our sin, then I believe that we'll never miss another prayer meeting again. We'll never have any more dead prayer meetings where nobody wants to pray. Nobody's nothing to pray about anymore. Nobody wants to thank God for what he's done for them. We'll never have any more dead prayer meetings. We'll never have any more dead Bible studies. If we can get back to the cross, our prayer meetings will be in fire. When I go to Ukraine, their prayer meetings, there's no gaps. There's one in behind the other. What a blessing it is to hear prayer meetings like that. They need the Lord. They're at the cross. We need to get back to the cross. And when we get back to the cross, we'll never miss another prayer meeting or a Bible study. We'll never walk away from the Lord's table again. Instead, we'll love him more. We'll love his word more. We'll love one another more. There'll be no more arguing and falling out and arguing with this church about this. My doctrine's better than yours. Brothers and sisters, what's that all about? That's nothing to do with the Great Commission. We need to go and reach people and love them and win them for Christ. That's the commission. But not to be falling out with one another. With this little story I want to finish, I'm going to sit down. After the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a new emperor came in to Jerusalem a number of years after the ascension. And he says to one of his men, I want you to get into Jerusalem. He said, and I want you to tell me something about these people that call themselves Christians. And away he went and he stayed with them for a few weeks and he came back. The emperor said, did you find out anything? He said, I did. He said, these people are known as little Christs. Little Christs. He said, they're doing the works that he did. He said, we thought we'd get rid of the problem when we crucified them. He said, now they're everywhere. And they're doing the works that he did. And then he said this, behold how they love one another. Oh, brothers and sisters, and that don't do your heart good, how they loved one another. We didn't have the Free Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Gospel Halls and this one and that one and the other one. We had the Church of Jesus Christ. And they loved one another. They weren't arguing about who was right and wrong. They weren't falling out with one another and squabbling. They were loving one another. Behold how they love one another, he said. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another. Brothers and sisters, 2,000 years ago the Savior said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Tonight he's asking us the same question. Donald, do you love me? Do you really love me? Brothers and sisters, we need to get back to the cross. And we need to love one another. We pray for revival. We need it badly. But it has to start right here. The church needs it first. And then, when we are revived, then we can reach the world. Thank you for coming tonight. Sorry the Ukrainians couldn't come. There's only an old Scotsman and a Belarusian. But you know, they're only 10 minutes away. Give us a call, we'll come back with them and let you be blessed through them and them through you. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much. Continue to pray for Ukraine. They need your prayers. They really do need your help. We have another 7 coming on Thursday, followed by maybe another 15 or 16. I'm still receiving text messages today and yesterday and last night. Christian families crying out, please help us, we're being bombed. Christians, pray for them. Bring them before the Lord tonight in your public and your private devotions. Pray for the Christians in Ukraine. The Lord will bring them over safely and we can love them and look after them, protect them, be a blessing to them, maybe learn something from them. Thank you so much and God bless you. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank thee again for your great love. We thank thee, Father, tonight for the cross. Father, where would we be tonight but for the cross? We praise thee, Father, for our precious Savior, the one who took it all upon himself. Father, we thank thee that he went to that cross and he suffered more than any man could ever suffer. How that he shed his precious blood and died for the sins of the world. But Father, we praise thee that death couldn't hold him and up from the grave he arose. Father, the women came to the tomb and the angel says to him, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen. He's not here. Now go, you've come and see, now go and tell. And brothers and sisters, this is what we have to do. We have to go and tell. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to do that. That we've came by faith, we've saw that he is not there, that he has risen from the dead. Help us now, Father, to go and tell. Take us, Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Take us back to the cross. Help us never to shun the prayer meetings and Bible studies and Lord's table. Father, set our hearts on fire. Set us on fire for our Saviour. He loves us more than anything. Father, help us to love him more than anything also. And Father, we just leave everything in thy hands. Bless our brothers and sisters here. Fathers, just set their hearts on fire for Coleraine and send them out there again. We know they've done it 1,000 times. Help them to do it 1,001. And Father, maybe that's where the blessing lies in the next one. Father, just bless them and thank you for this time together. Pat is now in thy fear and with thy blessing. And we ask it all in our Saviour's